All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin our shir this morning. Is dedicated, our shirim this month are dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zechariah and Sarah bas Avram. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshamas will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. We'll say with that, let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Lamed Gimel 133. Lots to do today. We are picking up at 132b. Amar Rav Chisda, we are 2, 4, 6, 8 lines are from the bottom, 132b. Beautiful Gemara today. Amar Rav Chisda, Matnos Kuhuna, Ein Ne'achalos Ela Tzli, Ve'ein Ne'achalos Ela Bechardel. This is so interesting. Rav Chisda says, when it comes to Matnos Kuhuna, both remember again, in our context these days, so Matnos Kuhuna refers specifically to Zroa, L'chayayim, and Keva, right? To the foreleg, the jaw, and the stomach. Rav Chisda says, when eating these gifts, you can only eat them if they are roasted, and you can only eat them with mustard. Right? Why? My time amakra l'mashcha l'gdula k'der shehamalachim ochlim. Because Rav Chisda, ultimately, Rav Chisda darshins the word l'mashcha. He says, again, that's the blush that the Pasuk uses. And then it says, l'mashcha means for greatness. That matnos kuhuna must be consumed in a chashiv way, that royalty eats their food. How would royalty eat these items? Roasted and with mustard. Therefore, Kohen, you must eat it roasted and with mustard. Ram Rav Chisda says, Esen v'arba matanos kuhuna. There are 24 Kohanic gifts. Kol Kohen sheno baki bahen, einos nelo matana. Any Kohen who is not proficient with the details of these gifts should not go ahead and be given these gifts. In other words, if you are not proficient in the halachos concerning matnos kuhuna, you should not be given matnos kuhuna. But I will see. But the Gemara says, Tende, we do not pay attention to this statement of Rav Chisda. In other words, even if a kohen is not well versed in the halachos, we still give him the gifts. From where do we know this? This anya. Rav Shimon Omer, kol kohen she'ein amoda ba'avoda, ein lo chelek b'kuhuna. Any kohen who is not mode ba'avoda, which means ultimately, again, Rashi says, she'ino mode ba'avoda, it's in the wide lines, 4 lines down, in the wide lines. She'ino mode ba'avoda, she'amar b'libo, divrei hevel hein, v'lo tziva hamakom lahakir v'lo karbanos, ela moshe bada milibo. So we'll say any kohen who does not believe that the avoda is divine. He does not believe that the avoda is divinely inspired. Instead, he just believes that Moshe Rabbeinu made it up. What's the halacha? So what's the halacha? Ein lo chelek pekuhuna. We'll say he has this coin, has no portion in the kuhuna, which we'll say for our purposes means he has no portion in Kohanic gifts. We don't give Kohanic gifts to such a person who does not believe in the authenticity of the avoda. Shene emar, hamakrives tamashlamim ve'esachelev mibnei aron lo siyesh shok hayomin limona. So we'll say the pasuk says that he who goes ahead and offers up the blood of the shlamim and the chelev from the sons of Aaron, to him will be given the right thigh. Ainli Elazar Bilvat. So also, I only know that this applies ultimately again to this individual. The Gemara says, "Minayin Rabos Chamesha Seavodos Kigona Yitzik." So I only know now that ultimately again you have to meet Bibnei Aaron in order to get this portion. How do I know that it applies? Minayin Rabos Chamesha Seavodos. We'll say, how do I know that it applies to the other 15 avodos? What are the other 15 avodos? Let's keep going. Hayitzikos, the pouring, the belilos, the mixtures, pesisos, breaking up of the mincha, melichos, salting, tenufos, waving, hagoshos, bringing near, kamitzos, the 3 fingerfuls of the mincha, haktaros, the burning, tzios, vahamalikos, tap of kuflam and gimel, vikabalos, receiving of the blood, hazo, sprinkling of the blood, hashka sota, the giving to drink to the sota, arifas egla, the breaking of the neck of the golden, of the egla, arufa, taras mitzora, purification of the mitzora, nisias kapayim duchening, bein mi bifnim, bein mi bachutz. So we'll say, how do I know that it applies to all of these avodos? Tamud lomar, mibnei aron. We'll say the pasuk says from the sons of Aaron, avoda hamasura libnei Aaron. This refers to any avoda which is given over to the children of Aaron. V'chol kohen she'eino modeba, eino chilek b'kuhuna. And any kohen we'll say who does not admit the authenticity, who does not subscribe to the divine authenticity of these avodos, has no chilek in the kuhuna. To which the Gemara says, taima, Taima de'inamodebo. I will say the reason why the Kohen does not have a portion in any of these avodos is why? Because he's not moda, because he does not admit that it's divine in nature. So the Gemara says, ha-modeba, but what do you see from here? That if a Kohen admits the divine nature of the avodos, even though what? Afagav de'inobaki bahen, even though again he's not proficient in the details, nevertheless, he is still permitted to practice. So I'll say, so therefore again, the Gemara says Rav Chisda is wrong. Rav Chisda said that any Kohen who is not proficient in the details of the Avodah should not have a chilek in the Kohuna. To which the Gemara says that is incorrect. If a Kohen, obviously we want Kohanim to be proficient, that's for sure. But what it's saying over here, what the Gemara is suggesting, what the Gemara is proving, is that halacha lemaisa, even a Kohen who is not proficient in the avodos, still has a portion in the matnos kuna, in Kohanic gifts. It's only a Kohen who does not subscribe to the view that the avodos are divine, such a Kohen does not have a portion in matnos kuna. Good. Amrabi Abba, Amrav Huna, Amrav. So we'll say Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, about 8 lines down from the top. So Amrabi Abba, Amrav Huna, Amrav. Chutin Shebelechi. So we'll say, so the chutin are the veins in the jaw, asurim, ultimately again are also. So we'll remember again, as we've spoken about before, the lechayayim, the jaw, is one of the matnos kunas, one of the portions given to the Kohen. Now what the Gemara is just getting into is the kashrus of the jaw. So Rabbi Abba says, the name of Rav, says the name of Rav, that the veins, the chutin, that are inside of the jaw, are aser. The Rabbi will say, now Rashi says, why is that? Mishum dam. Ultimately, again, because of blood. Right? So in other words, the idea over here is the Gemara is saying, Kohen, when you get this matana, be careful, because those veins are filled with blood. You're not allowed to eat dam, and therefore you have to be careful. B'chol kohen sheni odeh litlan, ein nosnin lo matana. And any Kohen who does not know how to properly remove the veins and deal with the blood issue should not be given this matana, should not be given this gift of the jaw. Velohi, the Gemara says, and the truth is, but this is not really such a big deal. I'll tell you why. Ibetivya, because again, if you go ahead and you roast the jaw, made of daiv, the blood goes ahead and is drained as a result of the roasting. Ve'ilikdera, and if you go ahead and you cook the jaw, e de michtach lehu umalach lehu, made of daiv. As long as you cut the veins and heavily salted the jaw, then ultimately again the blood will come out. So we'll say the point the Gemara is saying over is that halacha lemaisa, it's relatively easy to take care of the jaw. If you're going ahead and you're roasting it, the blood comes out anyway. And if you're preparing it to cook it, as long as you cut the veins and heavily salt the jaw, you'll be absolutely fine. So the Gemara goes vaytan. Amar Rava, Badak lan Rav Yosef. So listen to this. Rava said, Rav Yosef tested us, right? He gave us a fire. Right? He went ahead and he tested our knowledge in the following situation. So hai kohana, dechatif matantas. So we'll listen to this case. So Rashi says over here, Badaklan, Minasa Osanu im Neda Lahashiv, Virava Kohen Hayas. We'll say this is actually very interesting. So remember again, so Rav Yosef is testing Rava. Rava himself is a Kohen. You're going to see why this is important in just a bit. So they ask the following question. Kohana Dechotif Matanta. If a Kohen seizes the Kohanic gifts from someone. Now Rashi points out over here, what's the case? The case is a child is transporting matnos kuhuna. Child is transporting matnos kuhuna to a Kohen. I write to a Kohen, child is giving the matnos kuhuna, let's say it's from his parents, to Kohen A. Kohen B sees the kid walking, and Kohen B has a great idea. I'm going to grab the matnos kuhuna from the kid. Take it from the kid. So how do we view such an act like that? Let's do this, we'll say. Chibuve kamechavev mitzvah. Do we say, wow, the Kohen loves the mitzvah of matnos kuhuna so much that he's grabbing it. Mamish, he can't grab enough mitzvahs. Oh, zilzule kamazalzal b'mitzvah. Or is this considered to be an inappropriate act? In other words, mazalzal b'mitzvahs. Then ultimately, again, you don't grab matnos kuhuna. It's not the way to do it. Upashaknale. And ultimately, again, we answer this. The pasuk says, v'nasan. So we'll say, so the pasuk by matnos kuhuna says, v'zeyye mishpat ha-kohen me'esa ha-me'es zovche ha-zavach im sharim seh, v'nosan la-kohen. The pasuk says by Matnos Kuhuna that you shall give it to the Kohen. V'nosan v'lo sheyitol me'atzmo. So we'll say, what do we dashen? We dashen that the matnos kuna should be given, but the coin should not take it himself. So from here we see Rabosai, that even though, again, I want to point out, is that theft to go ahead, is it theft for the coin to grab the matnos kuna? No. Why, Rabosai? It's very important. Why? Because technically speaking, matnos kuna belong to kohanim, and no specific coin could lay claim to it until it reaches his hands. So even though the kids are on their way to give the matanos to Kohen A, if Kohen B chaps it, that is not an act of theft. What the Gemara is saying is it's not right. It's not right because Kohanic gifts are supposed to be given, not taken. Then the Gemara goes on. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, we'll say Abaye was also a Kohen. Mireish havachatifna matanto. In the beginning, I used to grab matnos kuna from Yisraelim. Amina, because I said to myself, Chibuve kamechad na mitzvah. I'm showing them how much I love the mitzvah. That mamish, I'm chapping la matnos kuna. Kevan de shaman aloha v'nosan v'lo shito me'atzmo, nichtof lo chatifna. So Abai says, once I came to Shir, and I learned the drasha of v'nosan, that it is appropriate to give it to the Kohen, I stopped chapping it, and I waited till people gave it to me. Not only that, Meimer Amri Havuli. So, but then I used to tell Yisraelim, please give me the matanos. Right? I'd go over and knock on the door. Can you please give me the matanos? The chiv, we'll say first wide line, Kuflam to Gimel Amadala. The chivan de shaman aloha de sanya. But then afterwards, I heard another shir. What's the other shir de sanya? Vayitu achare habetza. We'll say the pasuk says, This is by Chofni and Pinchas, the sons of Shmuel. So what happens? Sons of Eliyahu Kohen, excuse me. So the Gemara says, "Vayitu acharei abatza." Ultimately, again, they went ahead and they literally gravitated after batza, means like bribery or after the wealth. Rabbi Meir Omer, Bnei Shmuel chalkam shalu b'fim. The sons of Shmuel ultimately asked for their Levitic portions by mouth. In other words, Rabbi said that they explicitly asked for the Israelim to give them their portions. So we'll say, you see from here that the pasuk from the Navi tells us, it's not even appropriate for the Kohen or the Levi to actively ask for their portion. Rather, again, they should wait till it's given to them. Therefore, Meimar Nami Lo Amina. Abaye says, I stopped asking for it. So we'll see what's happening. Abaye says, originally I used to grab it. Then I heard Vidnasan. So I stopped grabbing it, but I would still ask for it. Then I heard after this other pasuk from the Neishmuel, and I saw the inappropriateness of even asking for it. Therefore, I stopped asking for it. And ultimately, if Yisrael chooses to give it to me, I take it. But then after, I heard another halacha. This song you learned in a raisa. Tatsnuin, moshkin es yedehem, vahagargarim cholkim mishko, cholkim. But then I heard another raisa. The raisa says, the modest ones remove their hands from the Kohanic and Levitic gifts, and the gluttons split it up. After that, I stopped Mishkal Nami Lo Shakilna. I stopped taking Matanos altogether. So I'll say, so this is actually very interesting. Look at Rashi just a moment. Hatznuin Moshkin Esedeim, Bechiluk Lechem Aparankarim Sechas Yuma, Betarav Kalfi, Mishameis Shmonatadik, Nishtelcha Me'era Belechem Aparim. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So what Abai seems to be saying is as follows. You hear this progression? He went from grabbing matnos kuhuna to saying, okay, it's not right to grab vinasan, but I'll ask. No, sons of Shmuel are condemned for asking, I won't ask. But if somebody gives it to me, I'll take it. Then ultimately, again, he says, you know what? It's okay. Nebuchadnezzar, obviously, this Abai is in a financial position where he does not require these matanos. He doesn't require these matanos. He chose that not to live off these matanos. With one exception, Lebar Mimali Yom Kippuri, with the exception of Erev Yom Kippur, where I would accept matanos, matnos kuna, Lachzuke Nafshai Bekohani, so that people should remember that I am a Kohen. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Lachzuke Nafshai Bekohani, Shleishtacha Chadavar Shani Kohen. So we'll see, interestingly enough, on Erev Yom Kippur, where there's a mitzvah, first of all, for Su'udah, I guess a lot of people were shechting. Therefore, again, a lot of matnos kuna. So Abai says, Erev Yom Kippur was the one day that I accepted matnos kuna, so that my Kohanic identity should not be forgotten. Incredible Gemara. So the Gemara says, V'lifros yadei. So I don't understand, Abaye, if you're worried about your Kohanic identity being cemented, duchen. Right, duchening is even like a better, first of all, duchening is public, everybody will see what you're doing. Well, this is actually very interesting. Anse le idne, literally again, Ansei le'idne means the time was not right. Okay, Rashi is actually amazing. Ansei le'idne, itim shekava le'tamidav, hayu trudim oso milises kapov, she'osik le'tamidav be'ishat sibar ne'asav le'isak ne'asav. So both say, Sa'abaye was one of those people who tarasa umnaso, that he was constantly learning. The Gemara explains that people who are constantly learning are pater from tefillah b'tzibur, right? They're ultimately pater from communal prayer. It means always learning. Oh, always learning, right? So I'll say, so therefore again, because of that, Abaye was often pater from going to shul. He was in his base medrash. So because of that, just often he didn't have the opportunity to duchen. So duchening, therefore, wasn't the real possibility. See, he cemented his Kohanic identity ultimately through eating matnos kuna on Erev Yom Kippur. Incredible. I'm Rav Yosef. Hai Kohana de Isle Tzora Miravana Bishivuse. This is another incredible halacha. Udichika le milsa. So listen to this. If there is a Kohen who lives in a neighborhood, right? And there's a Talmud Chacham in his neighborhood who is very poor. Liski le matanta. The Kohen has the right to allocate his matnos kuna to this Talmud Chacham. So we'll say, remember again, we saw this before already, that the matnos kuna that we're talking about over here, the zroa, the lechayayim, and the keva, can be consumed even by non-kohanim. The issue is they have to go to the kohen first, and then afterwards the kohen can do with it what he wants. The Gemara now is suggesting as follows. Rav Yosef is suggesting that if kohen, if you live in a neighborhood and you don't need your matnos kuna, but there is a poor Talmud Chacham who lives in your neighborhood, give him your matnos kuna. Give me your matnos kuna, so the Gemara says. So this kiri matanta. Now, Abba saying, here's the chiddush of Rav Yosef. Va'af agav delo asiliyade. Now, Abba saying, now the chiddush of Rav Yosef is a kohen does not need the matanos to first come to his hands. In other words, Abba saying, I would have thought the way this has to work is he starts to give it to the kohen. It becomes the possession of the kohen. Once it's the possession of the kohen, the kohen could do whatever he wants with it afterwards. Rav Yosef is suggesting is that the kohen could allocate his matnos kuna to a poor Talmud Chacham, to the Yisrael, even if it does not first come to his hands. However, again, I will say, this is in a specific case, b'makire kuna ulevia. I will say, this is talking about a situation where the kohen in this town is a very well-respected, highly regarded kohen, and everybody, or there are people, who always give him his matanos. So we'll say, so if you're the kohen in the town, and again, you're well-respected, so there's a group of families who always give you their matanos, right? They always give you their portions, so you know it's coming to you. You can allocate it to a poor Talmud Chacham in town, even if it does not first come into your hands. So we'll say, the Gemara tells a story. Rabbav Rav Safrek lo lebei, mar yuchna, breid Rav Chana bar Ado. Varmilei, lebei mar yuchna, breid Rav Chana bar Bizna. Okay, so Rav and Rav Safra went to mar yuchna's house. What happened? Avid luhu igla tilsa. So they made, right, so in the house of Mar Yuchna, they made for Rava and Rav Safra an Igla Tilsa. Well, so an Igla Tilsa is a third-born calf, which was considered to be, or a calf that reached a third of its maturity. The point is, very good meat. Very good meat. Amrali Rava l'shamei, so let's listen to this. Rava went over to the servant in the house. Now it happens to be that the servant in Mar Yuchna's house was a Kohen. Was a Kohen. So Rava says to the Kohen, Zochilan matanta, deboy deba'ina lemecha lishna b'chardala. So Rava goes over to the servant and he says to the servant, would you mind if you assigned me your Kohanic portion? Can you assign me the jaw that is yours? Because I would like to have a tongue with mustard. Right? Remember again, in the jaw is the tongue. Rava is saying, listen, this is a great spread, but if you, what I really want is your Kohanic portion, right? I'd like the tongue and mustard. Would you mind assigning it to me? This is Rava talking to the servant. So Zachilei. So the servant said, sure. So what happened? Rava achol, Rava ate of the tongue. Rav Safra lo achol. Rav Safra would not eat of the tongue. So we'll say, what happened? That night, Rav Safra had a dream. Akriya was Rav Safra b'chama. Rav Safra had a dream, and in his dream, he saw the pasuk, Ma'ada bagad biyom kara. Chometz al Neser. So we'll say, the Gemara is over here quoting the pasuk from Mishlei. Ma'ada bagad biyom kara. A tattered garment does not help you on a cold day. Chometz al Neser. Vinegar on iron will erode the iron. Vishar b'shirim al levra. And he who sings songs on a bad heart. So, okay, we'll see what that means in just a moment. Yosef. So we'll say, so what happens? So Rav Safra has this dream. He comes before Rav Yosef. And he says, Rebbe, Amrle Dilma Mishum Da Avri Ashmaita Dimar. Remember again, Rav Safra did not eat of the tongue. The reason Rav Safra didn't eat of the tongue was because seemingly he did not hold like Rav Yosef. Remember again, Rav Yosef was the one who just said before that a Kohen has the ability to assign his Matnos Kuna to another Talmud Chacham, even if the Matanos do not first come into the Kohen's hands. So remember again, that's what happened over here. Right? Rava and Rav Safra are in this home. The host is giving them an Igla Tilsa. Rava goes over to the servant who's a Kohen and he says, you know what? I'd love a tongue with mustard. So the servant assigns him the portion. Rava eats it. Rav Safra doesn't eat it. Rav Safra has this dream where this negative pasuk is read. He comes to Rav Yosi. He says, Rebbe, maybe it's because I didn't hold of your halachic ruling. Right? And I didn't eat the tongue because I thought it was wrong to eat the tongue. But maybe, again, I'm having this negative dream because I was wrong. I should have held like you. You say that a Kohen could assign his portion to a Talmud Chacham and I should have eaten the tongue. So the Gemara says, Mishud Ari Ashmaita Demar, Akarin Hachi Amrle, Rav Yosef said, no, Ki Amri Ana Ba'acher. So ultimately, again, Shama, Bal Karche Mizaki. So the Gemara says, listen to this. So first of all, Rav Yosef said, let me clarify my halacha. Right? Rav Yosef responds to Rav Safra. Number one, Ki Amri Ana Ba'acher. Number one, when I said my halacha, I said it dealing with another person. Shama bal karche mizaki. So ultimately, again, Abba Sayyid Rav Yosef said, listen, when I said that a Kohen could assign his portion to another person, we'll say that's another person independent of the Kohen. That the Kohen is doing this of his own free will. When Rava asks the servant to assign his portion to him, ultimately what's going to happen? There's an element of compulsion there. Why? Because the servant is going to feel awkward refusing the requests of Rava. Rav Yosef said, I never said you should do that in a case like this. Shama bakar chemizaki. Bichi amri ana lemandalo efshale. Furthermore, again, I said, when could a Kohen assign his Kohanic portion? That's really to a Talmud Chacham who's poor. In other words, that if Kohen, if you have enough, and there's a Talmud Chacham in your city who needs something, assign your portion to him. But that's where there's a case of need. Ultimately, again, ha'efshale, Rava has plenty to eat. He wanted a tongue with mustard. This was a personal preference thing. This was not a neat thing. Rav Yosef said, I never said in a case like this a Kohen should assign his portions. Ella, my time at Karyon Hachi, klape Rava. So let's listen to this. Rav Yosef says to Rav Safra, do you know why you saw this pasuk in your dream? It wasn't a message for you, Rav Safra. It was a message for Rava. Go and convey this dream to Rava, because this dream was a sign of divine displeasure with Rava's action, with Rava's actions. I, Velakarion LeRava, so I don't understand. If that's the case, that God is displeased with Rava's actions, that he ate Matnos Kuna, why don't you let Rava have the dream? Rava Nizov Hava. Rava was in a state of divine excommunication. And we'll say, now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. This is actually incredible. Rashi says, Rava Nazufava, it's about six lines up from the Bible in Rashi. Ani shamati mishum detiach klape maila b'meseches tainis. Debay mitra lelotzarech mishum yikredim nishamakos. We'll say, see, the Rashi quotes over, we're not going to get into it now, but there was a story in Meseches Tainis where Rava davened for rain, right? He petitioned God for a miracle, and it was an unnecessary miracle. Kadosh Baruch Hu complied, he brought the rain with his tefillah, but because it was an unnecessary miracle, Rava was cut off a little bit. So because of that, ultimately, again, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to communicate his displeasure with Rava, he did it through Rav Safra. Incredible. Amalei Abayi Rav Dimi. So we'll say, so first of all, we accept this halacha of Rav Safra, of Rav Yosef, which is actually very important, which is what we'll say, that technically speaking, a Kohen has the ability to assign his Matnos Kuhuna to a poor Talmud Chacham. This is how the Rambam Shulchan Paskins, that literally, again, if the Kohen himself has enough, if he has enough, he has the ability to assign his portion to a poor Talmud Chacham in order that the poor Talmud Chacham could eat. But again, with the caveat as expressed here, it has to be a poor Talmud Chacham, it has to be a situation where the Kohen knows that he's going to get this because he has an arrangement with a particular Mishpachas. Good. So the Gemara goes weiter. Only Abai the Rav Dimi. So Abai says to Rav Dimi, Upashte dikra b'maiksev. So this pasuk, which was this divine communication expressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's displeasure with Rava, what's the pasuk taich of the pasuk? What does it mean? The pasuk is actually talking about teaching Torah to a student who is not fit to learn. We'll say this, we have this many times throughout Chazal, that a Rebbe always has to be very careful about the students he teaches. Why? Because a Rebbe has responsibility for the actions of his students. And ultimately, again, if he teaches Torah and the students aren't worthy and the students go out and misuse that Torah, that responsibility rests upon the Rebbe. Dam Rabbi Hudamarav, Kala Shona Tamucheno Hagun, any Rebbe who teaches a student who is not fit, Nofel Begehenim. Pretty strong words. You'll say that's the Rebbe, right? That's the Rebbe, right, who falls into Gehenim. Which is an which you see this incredibly interesting tension. On one hand, we want to teach Torah to everyone. On the other hand, you see that Chazal tell the Rebbe, be careful who you take on, because you are responsible, ultimately, again, for the maturation and spiritual maturation of your Talmidim. Incredible. Shenemar, kol choshech tamon l'tzvunov, tochleyu eish lo nafach yariya srid ba'o'alo, ve'ein srid al elatam tchachom, shenemar, u'besridim asher Hashem korei. Amrav Yizir, Amrav, kol ashrona l'tam shena hogan. We'll say, listen to this, whoever teaches a student who is unfit, kizorek even lemarkalis. It's as if you're throwing a stone at Markalis. So we'll say Markalis is Avodah Zarah. So literally, again, if you go ahead and you teach a student who is unfit, it's as if you're worshipping Avodah Zarah. We'll say the idea being over here that Torah is powerful, but Torah is only powerful if used in the right way. If misused, ultimately Torah, unfortunately, could be an incredible force of destruction. So you teach Torah to a student who is unfit, right, who ultimately, again, will use that Torah knowledge in negative ways. Unfortunately, that is as destructive as the worship of Avodah Zarah. Shnei Mar, Kitzor Evin Bimar Gema, Kenosin Leksil Kavadu, Ksiv, Lo Nava Leksil Tanen. Good. So let's say, so now the Gemara goes weiter. So remember, back to the Mishnah for just a moment. So the Mishnah said that if you are Mishtatef, if, remember again, one of the things that the Mishnah expressed to us was this idea that if you have a partnership in an animal with a coin or an Ovid Kochavim, you are Pater from Matnos Kuna. Which makes sense, right? If a non-Jew is obviously not obligated in Matnos Kuna, a Kohen is not obligated in Matnos Kuna, so if I, a Yisrael, have a partnership with any of these people, I am Pater from Matnos Kuna as well. So however, the Mishnah says, you have to make some type of simen in the animal, so that when people see that you're not going ahead and what? Separating Matnos Kuna, they're not choshesh that you're doing something wrong, rather they realize that essentially this animal is matnos kuhuna exempt. So says the Gemara, vafilu ima oved kochavim, is that true that even if you have a partnership with an akum, with a non-Jew, you have to make some type of marking on the animal so that people should know that halacha lemaisa, this animal is exempt, or minu aris akasha, hamishtatef ima koin tzarech lirshom. If you have a partnership in an animal with a coin, you need to make some type of marking on the animal so that people realize that this animal is matnos kahuna exempt. But you have a partnership with an akum, or for that matter, if you are dealing with psuli hamokdashin, which also are not chayv in matnos kuna, you don't have to make any kind of simen in the animal. So we'll say from here you see what this contradicts our Mishnah, to which the Gemara says Amud Beis Hacha. But my askina, what are we dealing with over here? The Yasif Ovid Kochavim Amasachta. So we'll say the case over here is where I have a partnership with the Ovid Kochavim, and what? He's manning the store. So we'll say when people see the Ovid Kochavim manning the store, they realize that what? That I have a partnership with him, and that's why what? I'm not separating out Matnos Kuhuna. So meaning if he's sitting, he's sitting in the store, people realize that's why ultimately, again, I'm not chayv in Matnos Kuhuna. So Gemara says, well, if that's the case, I don't understand. So if I have a partnership with a Kohen, and the Kohen's sitting in the store, then why would I be obligated to make a siman in the animal? People see the coin sitting in the store. If they see the coin sitting in the store, they know I have a partnership. If they have a partnership, that's why I'm part of my skuna. The Amri Bisharak Kazovin. Because people will say that the coin's not there as a partner in the store. Rather, why is he there? He's there to buy meat. He's a customer. Maybe I'll say the same thing. So why don't I say the same thing? That if the Akum is in the store, why will people assume that the Akum is a partner? Why don't they say that the Akum was also buying meat? There's a simple answer to that. Simple answer to that is, why in a million years would an Akum ever buy kosher meat? Right? You get it much cheaper anywhere else. The Gemara goes right there. So the Gemara says, what's the case over here? The Yosef Ovid Kochavim Akasafta. The Ovid Kochavim Bosa is sitting on the chest in which they put the money. So let's say, if the Akum is sitting on the chest in which they put the money, that's a pretty good indication that what? That he's a business partner. Therefore, again, such an animal does not need a simen. But one second, if that's the case, and if the similar case would be by the kohen who's sitting on top of the money chest, so we'll say ultimately, again, that's also a pretty good indication that that kohen ultimately is a business partner. If that's the case, then why would there be any kind of need for a simen on the animal? To which the Gemara says, Amri, top first wide line of us, Koflam and Gimel on the days. Amri, Hamuni Hemne. So I say because the coin is there to watch my money. He's not a partner, he's just there to watch it. Ovi Kochavim Nami Amar Hamuni Hemne. So why don't I say the same thing, that if the Akum is sitting on the chest of money, he's just there to watch my money? People did not trust Ovde Kochavim to watch their money. So Ibaisim, the other possibility is, Stam Ovid Kochavim Mifa Paibos. This is actually very interesting. Furthermore, I'm going to say, Stam Ovid Kochavim is going to have what to say. If the Ovid Kochavim is in the store, right, he's going to be giving the Jewish partner a lot of instructions. So because he's going to be giving instructions, Pavoy partner is going to be talking a lot. Because he's giving instructions, that's a clear indication that what? That he's a partner in this enterprise. Rashi says, Masha'inki, you know, Kohen is a bit more reserved. Because Kohen are a bit more reserved, he won't really speak, and he'll be a silent partner, and therefore you won't be able to tell halacha l'maaseh if he's a partner or not. Therefore, again, when in partnership with the Kohen, the animal needs some type of simen, so that people will see when you're not separating out matnos kuna, it's not because you're cheating the Kohen out of his portion, it's because this animal is matnos kuna exempt. Amar mar, upsuli ha-mukdashin in tzarech l'rishom. Is that true again, that if you have animals that are psuli ha-mukdashin, that they do not require any type of simen to show that they are exempt from matnos kuna? Therefore, apparently, animals say it's clear that the animal is psuli hamukdashin. Therefore, it doesn't need a reshima. But we learned psuli hamukdashin in karm beitlis, v'nishchatim beitlis, v'nishkalim b'litra. Yet, rabbis say we learned that psuli hamukdashin are sold and slaughtered in the same way that regular animals are. If that's the case, then what? There is no external simen that they are psuli hamukdashin. Therefore, they should need some type of sign that people should know that they are matnos kuna exempt. What are we talking about? We're saying about the type of psuli hamukdashin which are sold inside of a house, like bachar and meiser behema. That if you have any of these animals which are puzzle and therefore could be sold for mundane use, these were not sold in the marketplace. Rather, again, these were sold out of private homes. Because they're sold out of private homes, that's enough of a simen about this, what type of animal this is, and therefore would not require any additional external simen to show that they're exempt from matnos kuhuna. So the Gemara goes weiter. Listen to this. Shutof biyad. I'm sorry, Amar Rav Huna. Shutof berosh, parta min alechi. Listen to this case. Let's say I have a partnership with the kohen in the head of the animal. That's our partnership. Right, through a partnership in the head of the animal, pater min alechi, I am pater from giving the jaw to the kohen. Shutof biyad, ultimately, again, if I have a partnership in the foreleg of the animal, pater min azroa, I am pater from giving the foreleg, right, to the kohen. Shutof ibnei me'ayin, if I have a partnership in the kishkas, right, in the insides of the animal, pater min akeva, I am pater from giving the stomach. V'chia barav amri, afilu shutof ba'achos mihen, pater mikula. So we'll say fundamental machlokes between Rav Huna and Chia Barav. If you only have a partial partnership with a kohen, so we'll say, does your exemption from matanos only apply to the part which you own jointly with the Kohen, but you will be chayiv ultimately again to give the rest of the matanos? Or do we say that as soon as you have a partial partnership with a Kohen in any part of the animal, that makes the entire animal matnos kohuna exempt? So we'll say, it's a fundamental machlokes. Rav Huna says, you're only exempt in the portion in which you have the partnership. Chiya Barav says, partial partnership exempts the entire animal. If ultimately, again, Yisrael says, right, the Yisrael says, the head is mine, and the rest of the animal, ultimately, again, is yours. And ultimately, again, I'm sorry, this is if the Kohen says, the head is mine, but the rest of the animal is yours. Even if the Kohen says, 1/100th of the head is mine. Right, Pater? Ultimately, again, the Yisrael is Pater. Or Hayad Shali B'kula Shalcha. The Kohen says, the yad, the foreleg is mine, but the rest of the animal is yours. Even if the Kohen says, 1/100th of the leg is mine, Pater. Ultimately, again, the Yisrael is Pater from a Pater. B'nei Me'ayin Shali B'kula Shalcha. Kohen says, the insides of the animal are mine, the rest of the animal is yours. Even if the Kohen's only claiming 1/100th, Pater, your Pater. Simar says, my love, Pater min alechi v'chayiv b'kulon. Pater min azra v'chayiv b'kulon. Pater min akeva v'chayiv b'kulon. Does it not mean, when we say Pater, we'll say, does it not mean that the Yisrael is Pater from what? From the matana associated with the part of the animal which the Kohen owns. So for example, if the Kohen owns the head, the Yisrael will be Pater from the jaw, but will be chayiv ultimately again in the stomach and the foreleg, and so on and so on. To which Yisrael says, lo, Pater mikulon. No, actually what it means is that if the Kohen owns any part of the animal, we'll say, what is the halacha? The Yisrael will be Pater from all maknos kuna. Aye, but less ne Pater mikulon. If that's the case, why don't you say that? Right? Why don't you say that if the Kohen owns any portion, the Yisrael will be Pater from all matanos? Furthermore, va'otanya, Harosh Shali V'kula Shalcha. If the Kohen says, the head is mine, and the rest of the animal is yours, Afilu Echad Memeir Meirosh, Pacha Min Halechi V'chayi B'kulam. But we have another braisa that says explicitly that if the Kohen owns the head, even some portion of the head, the soul will be Pacha from the jaw. Right? He doesn't have to give the jaw. But what? He has to give everything else. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Tiyufta Rav Chiya Barav Tiyufta. Indeed, Rav Osei, this is a refutation of the position of Rav Chiya Barav. We pass in like Rav Huna that halacha lemaisa, if you have a partnership with the Kohen, in the full animal, then what's the halacha? What's the halacha? You are pater from everything. If you only have a partial partnership with the Kohen in one part of the animal, you're only exempt from the matana in the part of the animal which is jointly owned. So, for example, if you have a partnership with the Kohen in the head of the animal, you are pater from giving the Kohen the jaw. But what? You still have to give the stomach and the foreleg. That is how we paskin. Amar Rav Chista, Hamas nisati seder Chiya Barav. So Rav Chista says, I want to tell you why Chiya Barav made his mistake. His mistake was based on a braisa. Here we go. This is an incredible braisa. Esim varba matanos kuhun hein. There are 24 Kohanic gifts. The chulan nitnu la'aron la'banav bichlal uprat ubris melach. And Rav says all of them were given to Aaron and his sons bichlal uprat. Which Rav Osei means that if you go ahead and you consume these matnos kuna, you treat them with kavod, it is as if you have fulfilled every klal and prat in the Torah, ubris melach. And furthermore, again, these matnos were given to the Kohana with a bris melach, a salt covenant, which means they are everlasting. Kolam akayimon, kilo kiyem klal uprat. Whoever goes ahead, Rav Osei, whichever Kohen, consumes them appropriately, and Yisraelim give them, it's as if they have fulfilled every klal uprat in the Torah, ubris melach. And have fulfilled the salt covenant. V'chala over aleihem, Rav Osei, whoever violates the giving of these 24 matnos kuna, ki'ilu over al klal uprat ubris melach. Whoever is in violation, ultimately what? It's as if he is violating every single klal uprat in the Torah, including the salt covenant. V'eluhein, and Rav Osei, these are the 24 matnos kuna. Eser b'mikdash, 10 of them could only be consumed in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. The Arbab Yerushalayim, 4 of them could be consumed anywhere in Yerushalayim. The Eseb Bigvulin, and 10 of them could be consumed anywhere. Here we go. Eser HaMikdash, we'll say, what are the 10 Kohanic gifts which can only be consumed in the Beis HaMikdash? Chatos, we'll say, remember again, the meat of the Chatos. Chatas Ha'of, bird chatos, asham vadai, asham talui, right? A definitive asham sin offering. Remember, asham talui is, I'm not sure if I committed an aveira. Zivche shami tzibor, ultimately, again, communal shlamim, log shemen shamitzora, this week's parasha, right? The log of shemen that is brought by the mitzora, shtei halachem, the offering of shavuos, lechem upon him, the showbread, shiari minachos, leftover of minachos, minchasa omer, the omer offering. So I'll say, so these are the 10 items which the Kohen gets to eat some portion of it, which could only be consumed inside of the Beis HaMikdash area. Va'arbab Yerushalayim, 4 of the matnos kunav could be consumed in Yerushalayim. What are they? Habechora, was ultimately bechor animal, could only be eaten in Yerushalayim. Bikurim, first fruits. Muram minatoda, that which is taken from the toda offering. Umi ayol nazir, right? And the ayol, the ram of the nazir. Va'oros kachim, sacrificial, right? Sacrificial hides. So we'll say those are ultimately, again, the 4 items in Yerushalayim. Vesavik vulim, there are 10 other matanos which could be eaten anywhere. And they are truma, truma smaiser, chala, reishis agaz is the first of the shearings, umatanos, pidyon aben, upidyon peter chamor. So what's that? Pidyon aben means the money from pidyon aben. Pidyon peter chamor means the animal that's given as a redemption for a firstborn donkey. Steachuza. What's that? Very interesting. Steachuza means if a person sold their ancestral land, the halacha is you could redeem it for as long as you want up until the Yovel year. If you do not redeem it by Yovel, it becomes the property of Kohanim. Stecharamim. Stecharamim also means if a person makes their field chirim, they make their field chirim, that goes to Kohanim. Gezel hager. Also the case of Gezel hager means if someone steals from a convert, and the convert dies, and there are no yarshim, there are no inheritors, that money goes to the Kohanim. So ultimately, again, we'll say these are the matnos kuna, which can be consumed anywhere. Now, what was Chiya Barav's mistake? Hu savar mi dekachashavlu lematanos bechada chadaninu. So we'll say, interestingly enough, in this list of matanos, the Zroa, Lechayayim, and Kiva are all reckoned as one entity. So Chiya Barav assumed that because they're reckoned as one entity, therefore what? If you're pater from one, therefore what? You're pater from all. Therefore, that led Chiya Barav to believe that halacha l'maisa, if you have, let's say, an ownership with the coin in the head of the animal, therefore you are pater from the lechayayim, the jaw, you'll by definition be pater from what? From the keva and the zroa as well. But he was mistaken, Below he was mistaken. Atu mura mitodu ve'al nazir dekachashav lohu kichada mishum dechada ninhu. So I'll say ultimately again, but that's a mistake. Because look in the groupings. For example, that which is separated from the toda, as well as the el nazir, right? The nazir's ram was also reckoned as one. Is that because they're one? Elakivan de damir lahadadi chashav kichada. Rather, I will say you have certain groupings in this list because they are similar to each other. So I will say, but it doesn't mean that they are actually treated as one entity. Ultimately, again, I will say, it's not because Zroa and Lechayim and Keva are all one matana, that they're grouped together because they're similar, but they are not considered as one. So we'll say, so it turns out that Chiya Barav had a mistaken reading of this Braisa. Because the Braisa lumps Zroa, Lechayayim, and Keva together, Chiya Barav thought that means they all are intertwined. And therefore, if you're parter from one, you're parter from all three. Kamashon, that is not the case. Kamashon, even though they're grouped together for purposes of this Braisa as one entity, they are in fact looked at as three independent matanos. And therefore what? And therefore halacha l'maisa, if you are exempt from one, that does not automatically exempt you from the other two. Rather, halacha l'maisa, we paskin like Rav Chista, right? We paskin like Rav Huna, that halacha l'maisa, if you have an ownership with the coin in one part of the animal, you're only exempt for that matana, but still chayiv ultimately again for the other two. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat HaShemati Yivari Luhu tomorrow.
Nice to see you again. If you have an unequal partnership, like one tenth in the foreleg, the other guy.